Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Because it's so important to hold space with people.
Hold up the light. I agree.
It's a lot. And we're here on the edge, brains. You're home. The place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. And today, we have Mirdu Hashwida.
Hi. How are you, April?
I'm good. I'm really good.
Good.
Let's talk about some really important stuff, brains. Now, I have a lot of people that are guests on my show, and they talk about mindfulness, and they talk about meditation. But do you know how to meditate?
Absolutely. That's the most important thing, is not just talking about it, actually doing it, embodying it.
And I'm going to tell you my experience I've been sharing with people, because I had to stop meditating for a minute.
Okay.
It was heavy. And when you really get to that place where I can take myself down in self-hypnosis, and coming back up. So you've got to be careful with that. You got to know what you're doing. She's also an amazing coach. She has a 6-week program that she's going to tell us a little bit about. And also her love of cooking.
Yes.
I'm trying to get an online bakery, and she's going to tell us about some of the fabulous things that I've seen her cook on her Facebook. So brains, help me welcome right there to the edge, Mirdu.
Thank you. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
So tell us a little bit about you. How do you show up in the world, and how did you find meditation, or how did meditation find you?
Yeah. So, you know, I grew up with meditation around me because it's part of our culture. And I meditated as a child. And when I stepped into my teen years, you know, when you know everything and nobody can tell you any differently, I stepped away from meditation and did what normal teenagers do at that time. And then later on in life, you know, as you go through tough times, you know, different things coming at you, stressful situations, I found my way back to meditation. And I realized that, you know, this was something that I wanted to help others with. And so I decided to become certified. And I've been leading classes, leading sessions at work, as well as just with my business. And
it's cool that you're able to do it in the work environment, because they're incorporating a lot of meditation into schools now. You know, when I was in school and I was bad, you had to write standards. I was bad to the point going to school where my teacher could even paddle you a little bit, you know, and kind of get your mind right. But now so many children are subjected to medication, you know. Yeah. They have different, you know, things, ADHD and hyperactivity and all these different things. So now they're really in schools focusing on mindfulness and doing a few minutes of yoga or meditation. I think that's brilliant.
That's a great idea, because our lives are busy. Our lives are stressful. And even as kids, I think they're dealing with more stress than we did as children. Because of social media, because you've got these gadgets in your hand that constantly keep you stimulated, overwhelmed, and busy. So just stepping aside and taking a couple of deep breaths, maybe doing a couple of stretches, really helps you to come back into your body, become a little bit more, you know, mindful with your breath, and feel more relaxed and calm on the inside, which is the best way to be. Because when you go out there and you hit these stressful, tough situations, you're coming to that situation with a calm, peaceful energy.
Let me dial back a little bit, because you mentioned, you said, this is a part of my culture growing up. Now, you were born and raised in India, correct?
No, I was born and raised here in the States. Okay. My parents were born in India and came here and had us kids here. So I've grown up here.
So did you go back and visit in India?
Not as a child. I have as an adult. As a child, we were busy with school, and so we pretty much stayed here. But once I hit my, you know, adult years, then I started to go back, definitely.
So are you, you know, I don't like to put people in a box, but is your religious doctrine, is that Hindu or?
Hinduism, yes.
Okay. Explain to my brains, what is the philosophy of Hinduism?
You know what? I think it's very similar to what other religions about, where you do unto others as you would like them to do to you. There's a real important piece of Hinduism, which has to do with karma. And I know that term is thrown around a lot now here in the West, but what that means is whatever you put out into the world, that comes back to you. So it's important to serve. It's important to help people. It's important to, as well, you know, just take care of yourself and your family. So really being of service and showing up as a spiritual being is really kind of the underlying.
There's a lot of, I see, you know, just from the observer, because I've been to, you know, many temples, but there's a lot of ritual.
Yes.
There's a lot of spiritual practice, more so than maybe other religions where it's more talking or they connect with spirit a different type of way. So was that an adjustment for you?
Well, I grew up with that around me. So I knew that not everybody does that outside of my home, but growing up with it, you know, my parents, because they were born and brought up in India, they had this very strong connection to Hinduism and to some of these rituals and prayers that we do. Again, as I grew older, I kind of stepped away from that. And although it's in my, you know, peripheral background, it's not necessarily everything I practice on a day-to-day basis.
Well, you know what? I think that religion is very important because it is, whatever religion it is a set of guidelines, it's a discipline. It's a GPS.
Yes.
It sets us on a trajectory. And without rules, it's chaos.
It is chaos. Absolutely. So
however that shows up for you. Right. I love your burn offering. There's a lot of religions that do, you know, Catholics, you know, Buddhist, Hindu, you know, Asian philosophy, a lot of burn offerings. And I do that all the time. I burn a lot of sage and incense because it carries your dreams and your wishes and your thoughts and your prayers. And it's just an amazing, amazing tool. So now we're kind of setting the stage for a meditation, you know, and so many times people think you got to be, you know, in this certain position. You got to be in a certain space. But I have found myself meditating in some of the oddest places lately in my car, behind the seat of my car. Wherever I feel that I need to connect with source and spirit, I stop. I get out of the shower, I sit there on the chair, and I just go into a place. How do people prepare themselves for meditation? What do you suggest?
So I recommend, just like you said, April, finding any space where you feel comfortable, preferably where it's quiet and you've not got a lot of, you know, outside noise, although, you know, that's fine too. And just really coming back into your body and noticing how you feel. And then being open to the fact that every time you sit down for meditation, it's not going to be the same experience. It might be slightly different. I do recommend...
Might be different. Sometimes mine is a world of difference.
Yes, yes. It can be very different.
I got a meditation one time and I just started laughing.
Yeah?
I don't know what it was. I was like a crazy woman. I laughed so hard. And then another time, I just the tears just came down. So there is a lot of emotion that's stirred up there.
Absolutely.
Before you continue, I want to ask another thing. Yoga, do you practice yoga?
I don't practice practice it as much as I would like to. I have at different points in my life. And again, that was something I grew up with too. My grandfather would stay with us and he was doing yoga asanas. So, you know.
And, my yoga instructor always says that yoga is preparing the mind and the body for meditation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Meditation can be done anywhere, anytime. It's really about coming back to yourself. It's really about connecting deeply with your breath. And that really can be done anywhere. It could be done at the traffic light. It could be done at the, you know, in the line at the grocery store. The main thing is being present with yourself, connecting deeply with your breath, and just being open to possibilities.
But a guided meditation is brilliant. And there's something about your voice inflection, and that's natural. It's not, you know, sometimes that you have an instructor that has to go into that space, but I've been watching you, and that is your, that is your temperament the whole time. It's a beautiful calm about you.
Thank
you. What do you do when you get upset?
It takes a lot for me to get upset.
I can tell.
Yeah. But when I get upset, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. But it takes a lot to push me there.
But what do you say to yourself? How do you bring yourself back to calm? How do you bring yourself back to center? Because you're a person that practices this all the time. So when it takes you out of your element, you know, how do you push that button and say, you know what, Mildew, slow down?
You know, so it's a process. It's not, just like you said, it's not a button. It's a chance for you to maybe step away from the situation and really take time to come back into your body and feel that calm and feel that presence. And it might be you stepping away, going outside and just connecting with nature. That might help you to just feel that, okay, I'm not as attached emotionally to the situation. It takes me a little bit of time to get to that place because it took a little bit of time to actually get me stressed and maybe angry. It's going to take me a little bit of time to come back to a space of calm. And breath work is really key for that.
Well, you know, breath was our very first gift.
Yes.
You know, and
it's still our gift.
It is our gift. And people take it for granted.
Yeah.
They really take it for granted. They don't realize that it's an automatic, you know.
I agree.
And so many things have surfaced during this COVID-19.
I know.
During that stressful time, because it was a perfect pause on the entire world. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just me and you. It was every person on the planet. I mean, the sky even cleared. All the bad stuff, the sea cleared. Everything was turned around. What did that time teach you about yourself and, you know, about the world around you?
You know, it really taught me to pause even more deeply. Like, I'm a good pauser in the sense that if I'm feeling stressed, I can step away and really just take time to, you know, get calm and peaceful. But what that time period did for me was to really just figure out that all this stuff out here isn't always necessary for us to show up authentically in the world. We can be in our home and be of service to people, and we don't have to be physically outside in the world. It helped me to also really get quiet on the inside. Mm-hmm. No matter what you say, you know, when you go to work, when you go to the grocery store, there's stuff going on and you are pulled into that energy. But getting quiet, everybody being in their homes really allowed me to, you know, figure out that I like myself. I love myself. I like spending time with myself. And I don't have to be this busy bee, constantly going to this activity, constantly meeting up this friend for dinner. I can just hang out with me and enjoy the time.
Well, it really taught me patience.
Mm-hmm.
It taught, you know, and I thought I was a patient person. And now, but it didn't just teach me that, it embedded it in me because I am still practicing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know when I went to China on vacation, the people would bump the horn and people would wave and they'd smile. And I asked our driver, I said, what is up with that? You know,
mm-hmm.
He said, because you avoided a conflict. You know, you didn't run over my duck. You didn't hit my bicycle. I thank you for that. I acknowledge you for that. You signaled me. And so I was like, wow. So now when people blow the horn at me, you know, they probably think this is crazy, but I'm polite. You know, if someone cuts me off and takes the parking space, it was meant for you. You should have it. You know, if I see someone that's, you know, underserved and overlooked, you don't have to beg me and ask me. I'm going to share with you what I have.
Right.
And these are elements that everyone can incorporate in their life. And it doesn't take a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Take a lot.
I agree.
You have to be mindful.
Mindfulness.
Define the word mindfulness, because I love definitions here and everyone has a different take on it. What is your definition of mindfulness?
In a nutshell, it's just being present in the now, in the present moment, with what you're doing, how you're moving in the world, and looking at your emotions, looking at your thoughts, but there's no judgment. You're just bringing an awareness, an attention, just a presence to that thought and letting it be. You don't have to say, oh, that's a bad thought, or oh, that's a great thought. Just notice your thoughts.
Because we are the thinker of our thoughts.
Yes.
And we are the observers of our life.
Absolutely.
And we are the editor of our story.
Yeah.
And so many people don't really think of that. They allow outside influences to dictate who they are, what they think, how they feel. And then that, you know, that sets up disease and sickness and, you know, self-loathing, you know, and it's the conversation, because so many people's minds are just going. They never stop to quiet the monkey mind. And that's what meditation does. And that's what it's done for me.
Yeah.
And it's a way to reset.
It is. It's just a way to, you know, I also look at meditation as a way to take time to connect with yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, we're always connecting with everything outside of ourselves.
Right.
Taking some time to connect with who I am on the inside, my breath, my body, my soul, like taking time to get to know who you are on the inside as well.
Well, another great meditation you have is cooking.
Yeah.
And cooking is a meditation. You make amazing desserts. Where did you find your art? And I mean, I know that's part of your culture too. Where did you find your love for cooking and making fabulous desserts?
So I love serving people and I love desserts. And so over a period of time, I started to experiment. And of course, I don't want to be the one that's eating all this stuff. I'd like to partake in a little bit of it, but I don't want to eat the whole thing. So anytime family gets together, I'm like, hey, you guys want to try this out? Or, hey, this is something new I've come across. Should we try it out? And that's been a way for me to, you know, just share with others and also use my creativity to create something that people really enjoy.
Now, I'll tell you a funny little story about food. My daughter was really, really angry with me. Mm-hmm. I told her, I said, you need to go in there. Oh, excuse me. I said, you need to go in there and prepare something to eat. Oh, and she slammed the pots and pans, and you could hear when she was cutting with the knife and all of that. And then it was time to serve the food. And I said, well, I'm not going to eat that. And she looked at me, after all I did and all this, I said, but you didn't prepare with love. Mm. You put hostility and anger and frustration and, you know, all this other stuff. You might have put extra salt in it because you were mad at me. You know, I said, but all of those things. So, you know, when you prepare food, it is a meditation. You are cutting, you are slicing, you are stirring, you are watching, you are pouring, and you are serving.
Yeah.
Just another way of serving. So I think that that's great. So you serve your clients with a very special 6-week program. Can you tell my brains a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So this is a 6-week series that invites you to pause during the week, come together in a group format. And we start off with sharing gratitude. What are you grateful for today in this moment? And then we move into a little bit of a discussion about mindfulness, how you can incorporate that into your day so that it becomes a part of who you are versus something out there. And then we go into a meditation where I lead you through a 20-minute meditation, and we close out and we meet every week for about 45 minutes. And it's just a good way to, you know, stay consistent with a habit with meditation. If that's something that you're already doing, it's a good way to introduce it if it's something you haven't tried. And it's just a community. It's a chance for people to come together and learn from one another.
And draw on each other's strengths and share in each other's life and energy, because we are an energy source.
Yes.
We really are. And so we really need to tap into that. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you.
Sure.
Because I'd love for them to, you know, enjoy a meditation with you and watch some of her videos, brains. I call it a meat pie, but you know, that meat patty that you made looked delicious. Was that vegetarian or was there meat in it?
It's vegetarian. It's called a samosa. It's stuffed with potatoes and peas that have been spiced. So it's good.
Yeah, you guys have the best spice. Curries and peas. I love it. So tell me how to get in contact with you.
So my website is liveliferadiantly.com. So it's just like you're living your life radiantly. So liveliferadiantly.com, and you can connect with me through my website. There's a way to contact me there. And my email address is, and I can spell this for you, it's mpasrija@gmail.com. So that's another way you can contact me.
Well, you know what? I can hear you doing some audio meditations. Do you have a YouTube channel?
I'm just starting it. It's not. Yeah, no, I haven't really spent a ton of time on that, but that's something that I've been wanting to do. So,
and you know what? Don't overthink it.
Yeah.
You have people that are on there for an hour. Folks ain't.
I know.
You can't be quiet for 5 minutes, much less an hour. But I think that you can really take us to a place that is very comforting, that is very loving, that is very spacious.
Yeah.
We need space. We need capacity. We need love. And thank you for being here on the edge with me, Mildew. I had to practice that name, brains, let me tell you. And it's still not rolling off my tongue, right? But she knows my heart.
Absolutely. Thank you, April.
I thank you so much. Come back and visit me on the edge anytime, okay?
Thank you so much.
Bye, brains. Be sure to subscribe and be sure to share.